Well, amen. It's good to be God's house. Got to meet a couple of the visitors this morning. We have Rachel back here with us. Good to have her. And the Otteson family is with us. I don't think I met all the visitors. I didn't get around to everyone. Make sure to try to say hi to the Otteson family. They're passing through their missionaries in Papua New Guinea. In a very remote part of Papua New Guinea, and some of the stories they could tell. Get some of those stories. Young people, go talk to them a little bit about what God has been. What God has been using them to do. So good to see everyone here today. I love to come to church. I love to have God's Word opened. I love to open God's Word and share what's in there. Happy Father's Day. So dads are famous for their dad jokes. I didn't even give one and you're already groaning. Well, and then somebody was wondering where they come from. How do fathers keep track of all the dad jokes? And I probably get in trouble for sharing this with you, but there's a top secret database where those are all stored. So anyway, that's the answer. So happy Father's Day to you guys. I'm grateful that not everyone gets this blessing, but I had a saved father. I'm grateful for that. He's with the Lord now. Lord took him home in 2002. He was saved in the military. He was drafted to go to Vietnam. And I don't know the whole story. Get some of those, young people, get some of those stories before the Lord takes them. Honestly, it's so easy to set a little recording device there and say, hey, Dad, tell me everything about how you got saved. Mom, tell me everything. I want to have it recorded. So I'm not sure exactly, but he must have heard somebody's preaching the gospel to the troops and went, and he heard how to be saved. And he received Christ as his Savior. And because of the gospel, I'll be with him someday in heaven. I know that different actors, Bob Hopes and different people would go and entertain the troops back in the day, right? And so how temporary. It's nice to laugh. It's nice to chuckle. But how eternal instead was that somebody said, I'm going to give them something more lasting. I'm going to give them the gospel. And my dad went and heard how he could be saved. I don't know anything about the person that preached, but looking forward to meeting him someday, letting him know how much I appreciate it. I don't want to be a church. There's a lot of churches out there where it's all about entertainment. We can chuckle, we can laugh, whatever, but that's so temporary. The gospel is so eternal. I want to be part of a church where eternal things are preached and uplifted, things that will affect generation after generation and on into eternity. My dad wasn't a dad yet when he got saved. There are young people here that are future moms and dads. We want to make sure you have the gospel because there's children in your future, quite possibly. And we want them to have a mom and dad that know the Lord as their Savior. I'm grateful to God that I enjoyed a saved dad. I'm grateful that I get to be a saved dad. I remember my first little one in the crib there. You know, all mom gets them all cleaned up and wonderful looking. They're in those little PJs and sound asleep in that little crib, sleeping away. And I remember that first one looking in there thinking, well, I can't just leave and go to sleep. What if that little body quits working in the night? You're just looking at this little thing thinking, what's going to keep it breathing? All night long, I gotta keep watch. I can't just go away. And I remember it was like the Lord kind of nudged me and said, it's all right. You go to sleep, I'll stay up with him. I'll stay up and keep an eye. It was a blessing. I'm glad for the chance to be a saved father. Some here, like me, are missing your father today. Maybe others have lost children. And so it's a hard Father's Day for you. But you know, we can find comfort in the Lord, can't we? Our Heavenly Father. He's so good, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm telling my children the other day, Dad's not going to be here forever, but your Heavenly Father will be here forever. What a blessing that is. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. We'll read this passage. I want to talk today kind of to the men. Ladies, we need you to be strong as well. But I want to talk to the men about being strong. Be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Here we have something to resolve to. Something to resolve to. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that thou hast heard. Next, we have something to remember. Remember the things that you've heard. We have something to resolve to. Be strong. We have something to remember the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We have something that must remain. We must reproduce. Teach, give those things to other men who will go on to share those things with others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That first verse there, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Let's pray. Lord, we're not the only ones here on this property. There are junior churches in other areas right now opening your word and sharing your truths with precious young people. I pray, Lord, you bless in the special needs class, the other classes. Please, Lord, as your word is open, I pray that you'd be meeting with us in here, but also with them in their classes, Lord. You love these folks far more than we do. And I pray that you'd use us in a special way to reach them. In here, Lord, I ask that you'd meet with us in here. This idea of being strong. It's under attack in this world around us. Biblical strength. How to be a man. How to be strong. I pray, Lord, that we learn some things here today that could help us. Thank you for this church. As Brother Ammon gave his testimony, Lord, thank you for what we have. Thank you for the young people, the opportunity we have to invest. Thank you for the young people you've given to us. I pray that as a church, we'd come together constantly, looking to you to guide each and every one of us. What can I be to someone else today? Who can I pour myself into? As Paul here in the passage told Timothy to remember what he had been given and to continue giving those things into others, teaching them to go on giving those things yet to even more people. Help us with those things. I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. So be strong. So the first thing, there must be resolve, a biblical resolve. The Bible, here Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong. We want to resolve to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about being strong for just a moment. The Bible says in a different place, in 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, Paul talks about exercising yourself unto godliness. Exercise gives us strength, doesn't it? He says in verses 7 and 8, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Sometimes shut your mouth about all the worthless things going on and get busy. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyselves rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So he doesn't say, get rid of exercise. Bodily exercise is profitable, but exercise unto godliness is far more important. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Some of you may not know, but we have a giant set of stairs over at the dunes. And I'm less familiar with these days than I used to be. Called Mount Tom, a giant set of stairs that goes up this sand dune. And I think it was maybe two summers ago that I was at the bottom with my kids, and I'm like, who wants to race Dad to the top? In my mind, I was going to be competitive. And I wasn't. At the top, looking down at me, about halfway up and dying, like, we beat you. Yes, now quit yammering and get down here and carry Dad up the rest of the way. And of course, in our minds, I think we're a lot stronger than we really are. And spiritually, it's the same thing. In our minds, it's basketball, right? I remember Pastor Parrish would talk about the moves that he would see himself doing. And he's like, I have the basketball, I'm dribbling, and I can see everything between me and the basketball hoop, all the things I'm going to do. And then he sets into motion everything he's imagining, and then partway through he's on the ground, the ball's over there, and everyone is like, are you okay? Do we need to call someone? In our minds, we're physically tougher than we think we are. Spiritually, I think it's the same thing. And we need to exercise. And we need to get out there and say, Lord, I'm not as tough as I need to be. I need to exercise myself unto godliness. I remember the time years ago, and I'm like, all right, kids, we're gonna run the lake. And I expected my older two to take off, but my youngest one, I'm like, listen, I'll slow down some to try to pace with you. But none of this, I can't do it, all right? I'll slow down, but you have to push yourself. And so I'm like, okay, Mark, set, and that was the last time I saw any of them. They all took off, and I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Don't have to make it a discipline issue. No, keep up. Okay, you're in trouble. You're not keeping up with Dad. They took off. Exercising, praying. Prayer is work. And the only way you're going to get stronger is putting the time in. Say, I'm going to set a timer. And Lord, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until I spend this time with you. I'm going to serve. I'm going to pray. And the only way physically we're going to get better at something is work at it. Put real time into it. Not imagine all the things you do given the opportunity. You set up a routine and you work at it. And spiritually, how's your routine doing? Do you even have one? Or is it in your mind? You're plenty strong. But then sometime, you're going to get out there and you're going to, okay, here I go. And then partway through the race, you're on your face, exhausted. I quit. I cannot go any further. Yes, when we're little, strength, we have the wrong idea, don't we? My dad's stronger than your dad. And we're not talking, he prays longer. When you're a little kid, right? My dad can lift more. If he had to beat up your dad, I think he could. Just saying. I mean, if it came down to it, I think they get along well. But if they had to fight, I think my dad would beat your father. We want to imagine those things. But true strength isn't which dad can give the other dad a bigger black eye. But which dad can humble himself before God. And say like Joshua, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not a bully. But he's saying, listen, God, we're serving him. It's not up for debate, children. It's not up for debate. There's not going to be a question, are we going to church today? No question. We're going to church. It's the right thing to do. And I'm the head of this home because God placed me here. Not because I'm bigger than any of you. But because God is important and he placed me here and we will serve God. The Bible will be opened. The Bible will be honored. And we will pray. And we will keep sin out of this home. Purity is important. Amen. We will hate sin. Some people will go and buy a workout outfit, right? That's it. I'm going to work out. I have a workout outfit. I remember one year getting ready for the Fairhaven 5K, and I was all excited. I printed off a training schedule for the Fairhaven 5K, and I never quite got to it. I had the best of intentions, but never actually ran through my training schedule. And I remember running along. I started off the race. I'm like, well, I'm not really prepared like I should be, so I shouldn't go too fast. But at the starting line with all those people, and they take off, and you're like, it's fun. You take off with them faster than you should. Partway through, you're dying. Boy, having a schedule, you got to work that schedule or it does no good. Having a fancy workout outfit, you throw that thing on. Oh, man, it's like the kid, right? You should see me when I'm in my running shoes. I really am fast, or my jumping shoes. Those shoes, they make all the difference. Oh, I have my workout outfit. Christian, you're here today and you're in your Christian outfit possibly. It doesn't make any difference. It's not what you're wearing. Have you been working out? Are you exercised unto godliness? A marketing survey on the use of exercise clothing stated that less than 10% of people bought the clothes for the sole purpose of exercising. The same survey noted that 35% bought exercise clothes simply for comfort and appearance only. Over half of those surveyed combined the use of the clothing for casual wear and exercise. In reality, a jogging suit is more comfortable than a lot of other things, but just wearing a comfortable and attractive exercise outfit doesn't make you any stronger. Physical fitness only comes to those who exercise. This principle is true for the spiritual fitness of the Christian as well. Outside appearances don't matter. If you aren't spiritually, you don't have spiritual fitness and you're not working out, you must exercise your faith internally to be strong in the Lord. He gives us some metaphors to help us here. He talks about the soldier, doesn't he? Be strong like a soldier in verses 3 and 4. And what do we think of with a soldier? I'm going to go into this more tonight about being a soldier. He says there, be strong, and then who hath chosen you to be a soldier at the end of verse 4. So that's going to be tonight. Be a soldier. But let's think for a moment. What does a soldier do? He endures hardness. He serves. He serves. You've probably seen those videos where there's the young men at West Point or someplace, and they're in there where all their hair is getting taken off. And they're kind of smiling nervously, like, what have we just done? And then you just see them, and all the hair is starting to go, and you see them, and they're about to lose their identity into something greater than themselves, aren't they? Boy, when you are chosen to be a soldier, part of getting baptized is saying, the old me is buried with Christ, and there's a new me that identifies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of being a soldier, part of being strong, is losing your identity into His. It's far too important to us. I have my identity. I have to have my identity. I want people to see my identity. Enough with that. Lay that aside. When people look at me, I want people to see who I belong to. Giving up my identity, losing my identity into His, losing my identity into something that's greater than myself. I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A soldier will sacrifice, won't he? Others first, not me. Others first. Paul talked about that in Philippians 2:3. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Part of biblical strength is looking at those that are around me. Another thing, loyalty. Belonging to something bigger than myself. This soldier was not to be entangled. Keeping myself free to please God. staying away from the disease of sin. Proverbs 5:22 says, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Sin will bind us just the same way it bound Samson. How many Christians who would be strong, but they can't. They're not available to be strong for the Lord Jesus because they've allowed sin to bind them like Samson did. And all that strength can't be given over to God anymore. Some metaphors, a soldier. What else? An athlete reminds us how we can be strong. We're resolving to be strong like God wants us to be. An athlete. And here in the passage, it says you got to keep the rules. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Part of this strength, I'm going to keep the rules. I'm going to keep the rules. Young people, sometimes you think, I'm spiritual because I do all the things that they make me do. They make the rules, and as long as I see which ones they make me keep, I keep those. No. Don't just keep the rules they make you keep. Keep the rules. Just keep the rules. Integrity. Character. It seems like we're always hearing about somebody that's in the Olympics or something, and they maybe won a medal, and they get it taken away because of cheating. All these things that you think impress people down here, and God's going to take them all away because he knows you did not keep the rules. Part of being strong is having the character and the integrity. If it's what's supposed to happen, it's going to happen in my life. Beware that idea of, well, I feel like it makes sense, so I gave myself permission to. I gave myself permission to. If it's not yours to give, don't live that life of giving yourself permission to. Live a life of humility. If you decide that I'm old enough that I'm going to start doing this, I give myself permission to, that's pride. And God abases the proud. But if you say, I will keep the rules, I will keep myself under, I will submit to the people God has placed in my life as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as an athlete, as one who's resolving to be strong, that's a humble person. And what does God do to the humble? He lifts them up. Like a farmer down here, verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. The farmer who takes responsibility for the land. Oh, take responsibility for the things that God has placed in your life. Men, especially when you're a father, you have a home to care for. Douglas MacArthur came across this quote. I don't want to be remembered as the great general who led the armies and liberated people. I want to be remembered as the father who prayed and read the Bible to his children. Boy, Joshua 24:15. We just read it. I'm going to go back there. You can if you want. Joshua 24:15. Boy, Joshua, a good example of a dad. Joshua 24:15. Let's go back to verse 14. A good dad is going to teach his family to fear the Lord. God is not a joke. God is not a joke. God is not a joke. Men, part of being strong. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord. God is serious. God is everything. God is important. And in your home, man, it's your job to make sure that's true. Now therefore fear the Lord. And serve him. I'm going to get busy for the Lord. God is not an afterthought. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and put away. There are things that will not enter this home. If God is not pleased with it, neither am I. And it will not have a place in this home. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't up for discussion. They say that if there's an unsaved home, if it's one of the children that get saved first, there's a 3.5% chance that the rest of the home might be reached. If mom is the first person to get saved, there's a 17.5% chance that the rest of the home will be reached. But if dad is the first person to be saved, there's a 93% chance that the rest of the home will be reached. Men are not superior to their wives, but in God's design, they are the head of the home. Not better than thou, but men, you cannot leave spiritual matters to mom. I say that two ways. You can't let yourself, and you literally can't leave spiritual matters to mom. The moment you decide, hun, you're in charge of those things. You're still in charge of those things, but you've projected to your family that they are not important. And you led your home not to count those things valuable. Moms are mentioned about 363 times in the Bible. Dads are mentioned about 1,300 times. Men, we need to be strong. So first, some things to resolve. Second, some things must be remembered. And the things which thou have heard of me among many witnesses. What had he heard from Paul? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. We need to remember what the Bible says, right? What does the Bible teach? Remember those things. Remember those things. God defined marriage, didn't he? One man and one woman for life. The devil doesn't create, he only distorts. And the devil is attacking marriage today. Oh man, men, have a happy home. Lead your home. Let your children see that you're in love with mom. Right? I remember as a kid, if there was anything that didn't feel right between mom and dad, you're like, oh no, oh no. I mean, they could just be a little like you're just growling at each other a little bit. But as a kid, you're like, oh, I hope the home is okay. Oh man, children need to see dad in love with mom. I needed to. In love with mom. And mom in love with dad. Oh, the security that brings to a home. Marriage. Paul taught on marriage, didn't he? There in Ephesians 5. That was one of the things. That was one of the things Timothy would have heard Paul talk about. Marriage, husbands, love your wives. The things you've heard of me. The same commit thou to faithful men. Marriage, having that right home. I was listening to a pastor preach, and he was like, oh, I loved to see my dad and mom love each other. Every once in a while, as a child, though, you'd be like, hey, there are children present. But really, they love to see mom and dad in love with each other. What had Timothy heard from Paul? Paul had been taught, led, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul had seen the risen Christ for himself. During several visits to Jerusalem, he had questioned Peter, John, and other notables regarding the details of the life of Christ. Paul had filtered his comprehensive knowledge of the Old Testament through the fine mesh of the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and this had refined his beliefs. This he poured liberally into Timothy's mind, his knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Timothy, in turn, soaked it all in. Be strong. Timothy would have known what Paul meant. On the road to Damascus, there was Saul, who would later become Paul. He's on his way to Damascus. He's going to find Christians. He's going to capture them. He's going to put them on trial. He's going to consent unto their death. But God got a hold of Saul on the way to Damascus, brought him to himself. He was gloriously saved. And then right away, Saul began exhibiting what it means to be strong in the Lord. Listen to what it says in the end of that same chapter, Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 23. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength. This is what's being talked about. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And he made people upset. That's part of being strong for the Lord. There will be people that aren't interested in God that will be upset with you, and you run that risk, but it's the way it is. In verse 23 it says, and after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. What Timothy had learned from Paul was not mere theology. Paul had incarnated the truth in his life. He had been strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we need to resolve to be strong. There are some things we need to remember. And then we need to reproduce. There are some things that must remain. The Bible says, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy was poured into by Paul, and Timothy was going to need to go on pouring himself into others. Are you here today? Has somebody poured themselves into you? Who are you pouring yourself into today? Part of being strong in the Lord is reproducing, finding someone else to pour yourself into. There is a baton of belief that somebody passed to you. There you were, your outstretched hands, and somebody placed it in your hand. Now take it and reach. Whose outstretched hand is there for you to place the baton of belief into today? Read the Bible, heed the Bible, but then deed the Bible to the next generation. Pass it along to your children, but have your children watch you pouring into others. This is important to my Father. He pours himself into others besides us kids. This is important to Dad, and I want to do the same thing the rest of my life. Dad poured himself into me, and I want to pour myself into others until I pass off the scene. Timothy would need to find others to pour himself into, and then those others would need to find others to pour themselves into. This is God's program. Jesus went one by one and found the disciples, didn't he? One by one. And then he poured himself into that group. And because of that group, continuing what Christ did, pouring himself into them, we're sitting here today, aren't we? God's program works. The Lord Jesus poured himself into those 12 men who went, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to pour themselves into others. By the way, much of what is passed along is caught rather than taught, right? We try to teach our children, but we teach more by what they see than what they hear us say. Just like Brother Ammon was talking about. Well, I think about the people that have really influenced my life. Yes, I heard them say good things, but it was watching them live out those good things that affected me more than hearing them say those good things. I remember there was a man saying it was a grandfather. He said, my dad told me about his dad where he had that cigarette and he was smoking, and my dad went in to see him, and there he was, and he looked up and said, hey, if I ever catch you smoking these, I'll kill you. Boy, dads, are we hypocrites sometimes? What are our children seeing in our lives? Proverbs 17, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. Dads, what are our kids seeing? I heard a story about this little boy. He said, you know, little boys aren't thinking straight. things that seem adventurous are, it can be very scary. So this little boy who was supposed to be at home with mom thought, I'm going to sneak in the back of dad's car and go to work with him. I'll be crouched down behind the seat so dad won't know I'm with him. And then as he pulls into work, I'm going to be like, surprise! I'm here to go to, it's take your child to work today. and I just decided, I'm here with you. So this little boy doesn't tell mom. Again, it's little boy thinking. It seemed exciting in the moment. So he climbed in the back of the car, crouched down behind the seat, and just waited. Won't dad be surprised? So dad takes off for work. And as he's down there, just crouched down, he's like... Dad was listening to the news. Dad turned it off. And as he drove, he just began praying. Praying out loud, oh Lord, be with my family. Thank you for him. The little boy sitting in the back thought, wow, I didn't think about what does dad do alone in the car by himself? I was just going to surprise dad, but this is really something. I just sat there listening to dad pray, and it affected him. What if dad would have driven to some place he shouldn't have? The Bible says the glory of children are their fathers. What if dad would have turned on something he had no business listening to? What if dad would have pulled over and pulled something on his phone? He had no business looking into that little boy. Oh no, my dad's a fake. He had no idea his little boy was back there, but he was. And praise the Lord, that day he shut things down and spent some time with God, and that little boy never forgot. Men, let's be strong. Let's be strong. There are people counting on us. There are people that we are affecting. Somebody poured themselves into us. Let's be serious about pouring ourselves into someone else. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.